Well, Father, we thank you for the privilege we have of coming together as your family tonight. Thank you for this time together, Father, as we sit at your throne, listening to the voice of your Holy Spirit. Father, I thank you that you'll speak through us tonight and that you'll open the eyes of our understanding, because we ask you to, Lord. We want our eyes open to your word. We want our hearts receptive, and we want to know you, Father, in the deepness of your loving kindness, the deepness of your heart. We want to know your ways, Lord, and we thank you for revealing them to us. You're not holding them back. We position ourselves to receive from you tonight, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, glory to God. I thought we had a good time last week. I had to go through it and clean it up to put it on the internet and stuff. It's not going there for a while, but I do it all at once. But I enjoyed that last week. And we're going to continue today with our Bible study on the Bible. And this is number 8 in our series.
Bible study is on the Bible.
I'm sorry. I couldn't resist.
That's what I started with on my first comment when we started this series. Well, it's a Bible study, so what do you think we're going to study? The Bible. But I wanted to build a foundation. What I'm doing is building a foundation of what the Bible is. Because so many people just jump in and reading it, and they have no idea what it is. You know, so we wanted to build a foundation of the Bible itself. What is the Bible? How it works. You know, what it means to me as a person. How I should be in love with it. You know, what it is. How does it function? And we're still in that. So we're studying overview of the Bible as we go. Then after this is done, we'll go into different series. And one of them I want to study is on the ways of the Lord. You know, as Christians, we need to know his ways. And he's not keeping them back from us. Mm-hmm. They're wide open. He reveals himself. And all we have to do is position ourselves to know him. And one of the ways is through this book. Through this book. The more we fall in love with this book, the more we fall in love with him. The more we fall in love with him, the more we know his ways. And if we know his ways, we'll know how to pray. We'll be able to discern the different things that come against us, whether it's God or not. We'll be able to hear his voice as he guides us in a much finer tuned way if we know his ways and if we're students of his word.
More clearly,
That's exactly right.
We'll more clearly be able to act.
Exactly right.
Well, no, we have to have revelation to be able to do that. Yes. You know, I've said this. People know, we know what we should do. We know what we ought to do. We all know what we ought to do. But what's the motivation? We have to have a revelation from God to get the motivation.
And you have to be in his word to get that.
Yeah, because we're just not motivated all the time. No. We have to know what to do. I mean, we know what to do. Yeah. But why we do it and you know, what pushes us past that point. We all can look at our lives and see we were such and such a way up until this point, and then we got a revelation.
Yeah.
And then we were motivated to change or understand or whatever it was that we knew God was calling us to do, but we just couldn't get started. Yeah. You know?
You can know for so very long.
Oh, yeah. All your life.
What it is you should be doing.
Sure.
Like that too.
And until something opens it up,
the motivation, the revelation,
you can struggle with it. You
absolutely.
Just, it's like, I know that's what's supposed to happen, but I don't know why, I don't know what. But then when that revelation happens, it's just a...
Then it seems like the most logical thing in the world.
Yeah, it's just, oh, duh.
Because, and another thing is, we'll start getting guilty about it, and feeling bad about it, and feeling like we're not doing our part. But we can't do it until we get that revelation.
Yeah.
And we have to wait on God for that. But if we get in here and get a revelation of it, who knows when, where, or how. It's just that the Holy Spirit decides it's time now to change and do something else. You know?
You guys are confirming the message for tonight. You don't know.
Well,
you
already know. Let's go get our snacks.
No, I know Gene can, and Gene and, well, Nate can't because he wasn't in the Bible study. He was in the sound booth. But... You know, Jane was in our Bible studies, and Georgie has been several years, well, a year or so, however long I've been here. But even before that, I would be in there ministering. We never communicate. Pastor and I would never communicate about what we're going to teach or talk. And we'd be in, Mark Woods was in there with us, and it was amazing. It really was. I'd be teaching and teaching on a subject and walk right in there, and right in the middle of his message, Pastor would say the same thing, talking
exactly
the same thing.
The same
and sometimes the same scriptures mm-hmm. and exactly the same words. And people would look at me and they'd smile, and Mark would always go like that. But I can't do that. Yeah. It's such a confirmation when that happens that the Holy Spirit is speaking.
Absolutely.
He wants us to know him. And it was just so awesome. That happened time and time and time again when that happened. And it just excites me because I know that it's not me. I don't want it to be me. Well, today we're going to talk about the abiding word that sets you free. The abiding word that sets you free, which is connected to last week in Deuteronomy 30. And that's not where we're going, but in Deuteronomy 30, 14, the last week we talked about God putting before us choice. Life and death, choose life. And we want a real good study on that. And he wants us to choose the right thing, so he even tells us. He said, choose life. This is an open book test. You're doing the test, but I'm telling you the answer. Choose life, you know. And so today this is kind of connected to that. It's kind of flowing in a way, however the Lord lays this out for me. John 8:31, we'll start there. And I'll be using the Amplified mostly in the New King James a little bit. I use the New King James where I can, but sometimes the Amplified brings out such a depth that we need to see. John 8:31. So Jesus said to those Jews who had believed in him. Now, not to all the Jews, to those Jews that believed in him. If, there's that word we talked about again, or choice. If you abide in my word, hold fast to my teachings, and live in accordance with them, you are truly my disciples. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. That end, there at the beginning of verse 32, is a conjunction word. It joins two thoughts. So he's still talking about the same thing, isn't he? What did he say then? He said, if you abide in my words. And the Amplified, in this particular case, the word there is used in the context it's used in. It says, hold fast to my teachings and live in accordance with them. Hold fast to them. In other words, make them priority in your life. If I'm holding fast to his teachings, it means that it's the determining factor of how I respond. It's what determines whether I'm what I do, whether it's right or wrong. I focus on the word to channel my thoughts, channel my ways of living, to channel to I keep using it as a filter, but to filter my life through the word. And whatever comes out when the word's done with it, that's the word. That's the way God's leading me. So I'm making it first place. Not second place, not last resort, but whatever the circumstances in life are, I'm making that priority, I hold fast to it. Or you could say it becomes your anchor. When old man doubt comes along and you're fighting this long battle, whether it's healing or finances or marriage or whatever it might be, this long battle that you've been in for a while, maybe all your life or for months or whatever, you're fighting this battle. Well, you need an anchor during those storms of life. Mm-hmm. And the word is always the anchor. Because it's always the truth. As we've been talking, the word is absolute truth. God and his word are one. So if we can find a promise in there, and I didn't count them, but different commentators say there's something like 7,000 promises. Well, I can tell you some of those promises are not promises. They're facts.
Amen.
A fact is something that's already settled. You know, it's already been paid for. We consider it a promise, but promises are future tense. You know, it's something that I promise you that I'm not going to do it because it won't happen. I promise Jean I'm going to give her $100 before we leave today. I may, who knows? But I promise her I'm going to give her $100 before she leaves. Now, that's future tense. But if I say, here's the $100, that's present tense. You know, and that's the way we got to look at the word. Some of the promises that we call promises are actually facts.
Amen.
They're settled by the cross. The blood of Jesus settled them. So a promise is something that's future tense.
But they're still relevant.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, they're still relevant. Now
they've been completed.
Exactly,
so to speak,
right.
They're still relevant.
They're very relevant. Completely. As a matter of fact, if I know that truth, when I'm looking at that, but know that truth, there's nothing keeping me from that manifesting because it is a fact. Mm-hmm. You know, a promise is, now I position myself and I apply the word to the faith to the word, and then hope flies out there and starts working on that. Mm-hmm. So now they're working together, and it's, the more I apply my faith to the word, the stronger that hope gets, the closer I get to that. And then patience works with hope and faith to draw the two together. Mm-hmm. But see, if I stop somewhere along the line and quit, then that stalls that process. So it's future tense. It will manifest as long as I do my part. When I stop my part, then it either will put it off or it won't manifest at all because I'm not doing my part. I'm not applying my faith to the word. So it's important that we do that. Now, in fact, I apply my faith to the word, which manifests the fact. It's in the now. You see, it's not something that's future tense. It's either way, apply the word, apply the faith to the word, and it'll manifest. I position myself for it to take place. We hold fast to his teachings, or the word, and we live in accordance with them, it says. In other words, like I said, I'm judging my life. I'm correcting and fine-tuning my life by the word. That's my fine-tuner. No matter what I think, no matter what the world says, no matter what anybody says, I see it in the word. I fine-tune my life to that. That's my focal point. That's where I aim at. I aim myself right at that. And that's being spiritually minded. If you're word-minded and love-minded and faith-minded, you're spiritually minded. But if you're not, what are you? You're carnally minded. Okay? So I make that determination on whether I'm going to be spiritually minded or carnally minded. They don't just happen. If I'm not spiritually minded, then what am I? I'm automatically carnally minded. I'm automatically there because I'm not doing anything. If we do that, if we hold fast to his teachings, his word abides in us. We hold fast to his teachings and live accordance with them. Not only are we his disciples, but it says, and you will know the truth. Why? Because I'm doing that. See, I'm abiding in his word. I'm living in his word. I'm holding fast to it, living in accordance with them. And then I know the truth because his word is truth. And when I know the truth, that sets me free. That can set me free from depression. It can set me free from fear and worry. It can set me free when I need healing. Whatever I need, the word can set me free there. Because it is absolute truth. It cannot be changed or altered. I'm the only one that can prevent it from coming to pass. Satan can't. It's impossible for him to stop the word. Because it's God's word. He said it. So if I line up with it, that truth I line up with will set me free.
Amen.
In whatever area I need. I may have had baggage all my life, and I can go free from it in my now moment. You actually go free in the now moment, not in the future moment, because when you're set free in the future moment, it's automatically a now. But it's the now moment where you go free. You don't have to worry about the baggage of yesterday. It's in the rock of time. Not the sands of time, it's in the rock of time, like a fossil. It used to live, it had babies, it done everything something that's alive did. But now it's a rock. It can't do anything, it can only move when I move it. That's your past. But if you focus on your now moment, that's where your real life is. That's where you are right now. No, you can only live in your now moment. You can't live in your past or your future. That was a real revelation to me, and it changed so much in my life when God showed me that you're not alive anywhere else. You're only alive in your now. What are you doing with your now? What are you doing with your now? Don't let your past be your future, and don't let your future be your past. Stay with the Word. Stay in your now. Hallelujah. That's good preaching, even if I do say so. I needed that. Okay. John 17:17 is the next one. The high priestly prayer of Jesus just a few hours before the cross. He's talking to God here and he says, sanctify them. Purify, consecrate, separate them for yourself. Make them holy. They didn't just ask God to do it. The next part is by the truth. Your word is truth. Now he asked God to do it, but how's God going to do it according to that scripture? Sanctify them, purify, consecrate, separate them for yourself, make them holy by the truth. Your word is truth. So he qualified truth. What does the word do? According to that scripture, it can sanctify me or set me apart. Sanctify me, separate me unto. The Amplified defines that word here being used for sanctify as to purify. So the word can purify me. The word can consecrate me or set me, make me holy, put me in the right place with God. It can separate them for yourself. It separates me for God. Separates me from the world to God. And it makes me holy. Now, we've talked about that. I know Gene does in the past. We talked about what holiness really is. Holiness is the love walk. If you don't walk the love walk, you can't walk a holy body. Holiness is love. It's not the way you wear your hair. It's not. It could be if you're doing it as unto the Lord and you're doing it out of love, but that's not a condition for holiness. It's not the way you wear your dress. It's not where you go and what you think. Holiness is the love walk. God is love. He says, be ye holy as I am holy. How is God holy? He's a lover. He's love. So we walk in love, we're automatically walking a holy life. Why? Because if I'm walking in love, I'm not going to steal. If I'm walking in love, I'm not going to have adultery. If I'm walking in love, I'm not going to fuss and cuss. If I'm walking in love, I'm thinking the best of every person and taking no account of a suffered wrong. And there's many other things. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 8, Amplified Classic, will tell you what love is. It gives you the steps. You can use it as a checklist for yourself. So it will do that. As I'm walking the love walk, I am abiding in the Word. And as I'm abiding in the Word, my faith rises. As we'll see here
shortly. God is love. Absolutely. 1 John, whatever
it is. Exactly. Exactly right. So, and then it says, as he is, so are we in this world. 1 John 4:18. So, as he is, so are we. So, he is love. So we're supposed to be love. Now, that's not a suggestion. In John 15, he said to love. He used it, my commandment is to love. 1 John also repeats that. That is the commandment. It's not a suggestion. So if we claim Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we're supposed to be walking in love. Well, if I'm walking in love, what is it? How do I know that I am? That's why I like 1 Corinthians 13, 4-8 Amplified, because it defines the steps and that you can use to fine-tune that area of your life. But Jesus said here to sanctify them, purify, consecrate, separate them for yourself, make them holy. By the truth. So the word is what he uses. God always uses the word to do anything. Your word is truth. I like the way Jesus said that. Your word is truth. He defined truth. So if whatever you're calling truth, if science or whatever, we're not going to get off on that, but if science or whatever it is says this is a truth, but it doesn't line up with the word, it's not a truth. It might be a truth, but it's not the truth. Because the truth is a higher law. The truth is God's word. God and his word are one. They can't get any better than that. Okay. So, it is the abiding word. The word that lives in your heart. The abiding word that you know in your heart that sets you free. I can study the Word. I can read the Word. I can have I can have this thing memorized, including chapter and verse, from cover to cover, and not have the Word abiding in me. Mental assent. Yes, Mama.
That's what your mom's husband. He was always sending off for correspondence courses and all kind of stuff in the Bible, and I don't even know if he was saved.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it wasn't. It wasn't doing the job that he
I pray that he was. We weren't saved then. So,
well, yeah. You know, I mean, you know, this is kind of when we lived down in Oran. He was
we were. That's
about
right.
That. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So. But I can have all that. I can have the knowledge of the Word. Mm-hmm. But that's carnal. Mm-hmm. It never moved from my head to my heart. Mm-hmm. So if it didn't move from my head to my heart, there's a famine in me, even though I know what it says. Mm-hmm. So it's the Word that's in your heart, heart knowledge, that sets you free. I can know all of those truths and it not set me free. I can be in bondage to everything you can think of and not be free. I can read that scripture and say that, but not be free because it's not in my heart. The abiding Word is not there. I can say it, I can repeat it, but I don't have faith in it. I can even say I have faith in it. But if I'm walking it, not in walking in love, then it won't work anyways. So it's the Word that abides, and we'll see that in a minute here. It's the Word that, it's the abiding Word that you know in your heart or your spirit man that sets you free. John 15:7. It starts off with a big word again. I don't think there is a bigger word. It's one of the biggest words in the Bible is if. 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 If you live in me, abide vitally united to me, and, there's that conjunction again, and my words remain in you, and, another conjunction, continue to live in your hearts, ask whatever you will, and it shall be done for you. There's a lot in that scripture, and you have to take time with it. Otherwise, you'll breeze right by it. If is the choice. All of these are choices. Mm-hmm. If you live in me, number one, are you born again? You cannot live in him if you're not born again. If you're born again, you are in Christ. But you might not be vitally united to him. If you live in me, abide vitally united to me. Mm-hmm. Now, we had an awesome study several times. We had 49 messages on the love walk, as you remember, Jean. And several of those, three or four, was on the vine and the branches. We had an awesome study on that. I love that. Still got all that. And I learned so much in that. But anyways, this is John 15, is the vine and the branches section of Scripture. There's so much he's talking about here, but the whole basis of John 15 is love. That's what he's talking about, is love all the way through it. But when you look at, I don't have time to go over it, but he's talking about the branch connected to the vine is not what you see. And I can prove that with everything, but the vine is actually that little stump that comes with the roots and the little part that sticks up above the ground. That's the vine. Above that is a stalk and branches. And we went through all of that. Using terminology and research and everything. The actual vine is the roots and the part that's above the ground. Just barely. It's a little part. That's the roots. I mean, that's the vine. Everything else is branches. He said, if these branches are vitally united to me, then. Vitally united means connected. It means drawing resources from. Getting its life from. You detach a branch from the vine, it has no life in it. It can't do what it's supposed to do because there's no life in it. But when it's attached to that vine, then It's getting its nourishment through those roots that are in the soil. If we are not rooted in Christ, if we're not rooted in love and rooted in the Word, we don't have no nourishment. We can't have life. It dies. That's what Jesus is saying here, and he just got done laying out the vine and the branches. He's still talking about the same thing. If you live in me, abide. Abide means what? I'm living here. I've taken up residence. I'm not going anywhere else. My life is here. If you live in me, abide vitally united to me, and my words remain in you. So because the "and" is there, that means not only is it two thoughts joined together, but the "and" being there means you can do one without and not do the other. You can be vitally united to him, but not have the word in you. You see what I'm saying? Both of those are necessary. That's why the "and" is there.
It'd be real hard to do that, though.
It would be, because you won't last long. Mm-hmm. You'll die. Mm-hmm. That's why he's saying it that way. It takes both, is what he's saying. If you live in me, abide vitally united to me, and my words remain in you, and now, and. Continue to live in your hearts. It takes all three. See, I can be vitally united, I can have the word in me, but not continue. I can stop. And as soon as I stop, the nourishment from that soil stops. And now I'm going to wither. I've got to get plugged back in. I've got to get this life from the soil again. I've got to get the word back in me. See, our spirit man is the soil where the word is sown. That's the real us. We don't sow the word in our mind. We sow it in our spirit. And our spirit brings understanding to our mind.
Yeah.
That's the way it's supposed to work. But if we only have understanding mentally, we don't have no soil. It's not rooted in the soil. There's no life in it. It doesn't get its nourishment from the soil. The soil is our heart. That's where the Holy Spirit is. He's not in our body. He's in our spirit. When we got born again, the Holy Spirit and my spirit come together. Now we're one, just like Adam was, but on a higher level. We're one. And now our nourishment comes directly from God. My soulish nature, mind, emotions, and will is supposed to communicate to my spirit man. My spirit man communicates to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit defines and tells my spirit man what to do. My spirit man communicates to my mind, and that's all instantaneous. My spirit man communicates to my mind, and now I'm supposed to respond that way. But if it's all mental, and I cut short the spirit end of it, all I am is a body with a mind. And I'm going to fail. And that's why he said, abide vitally united to me, and my words remain in you, and continue to live in your hearts. That word is where the life comes from, and the word is always sown in the heart. That's where it comes from. That's why this is so important and why Jesus is putting it this way. The word cannot abide without faith. It cannot abide without faith. Question: if it cannot abide by faith, where does it come from? Where does faith come from?
Faith comes by hearing.
Exactly right. The word cannot abide without faith. And faith comes by hearing. Romans 10:17.
As you've already alluded to, it's hearing in our spirit.
Pardon?
I grew up in church. It's more than just physically hearing without faith.
Exactly, that's where I'm going. Exactly.
It's
more than that. And not just, you can sit in church all day and hear a word and not be anything. It's not abiding. It never entered. Mm-hmm. You're thinking about the pot roast or whatever. Mm-hmm. Or how long is this guy going to go?
Not guilty.
Well, I've been notorious for being a little long-winded, but it's not my message, so I can't shut up till he tells me to.
We use 90-minute tapes in our church.
Yeah.
Because we didn't. We want to make sure, you know.
And nobody complained. Nobody complained. They liked it. Okay, so the word cannot abide without faith. Faith comes by hearing. Romans 10:17. So then, faith comes. Faith comes. By hearing. And hearing by the word of God. Why did he put that last part in there, comma, in hearing by the word of God? Because faith comes by hearing, period. What are you hearing? Are you hearing the words of the world? Are you hearing fear, worry, anger, depression? That what you're hearing? Then faith is coming. Faith in that. Because you're hearing those words. Where is it going? It's going in your spirit, man. But it's not bringing life. It's bringing death. And you're becoming carnally minded because of what you're hearing. Now, this is not something that I can just choose and go on down the road. It's a law. This is a law. This works every time in every area of life. It's 100% effective both ways. That's why he added that last part there. Faith does come by hearing. If all I'm hearing is fear, worry, anger, depression, and all that other stuff, and I don't have anything else going in, what do you think I'm becoming? I'm becoming what I'm hearing, not just what I say. But the problem is, you're going to say what you believe.
Yeah.
Your words are going to follow what you hear, because it's sown in the heart. That's what Jesus said. It comes out of the heart. I mean, it's very... God made it so simple and it's so easy to understand. It's not complicated for anybody if you just stop and think about it. If you see it for something stronger than just a good idea, these are laws. And if God spoke it and said it, and he did say this, then that's the way it is. Whether I believe it or not. Most people are afraid to teach that. I'm not, because it's in the Word. And we shouldn't be afraid of hearing those things. We should, if that knocks us off to the side in the ditch somewhere, and that can't be that way, you better spend time in it, because you'll find out it is. And if you take account of your life, you'll find out that Scripture is 100% true. What you hear is what you're becoming. Because you're going to say it. If you meditate on fear and worry long enough, even other people's fears and worries, if you like horror movies, what do you think you're going to be? You're feeding on fear. You're going to become afraid. It's what's going to happen. It might not be afraid of what's in that movie, but it will grow up in your life right down the road there. You'll start being afraid of something. You'll start worrying about it. And you'll start growing there. It's not growing, it's digressing really. But that thing will come up because it's in the soil of your heart. Mm-hmm. And if it's in your heart, you're going to be battling fear and worry and depression. You're focused on the wrong thing. You're becoming what you focus on. If you don't change your focus, it's not going to get any better. I don't care how many doctors you go to. They can't keep you from meditating on that stuff. What you meditate on is what's building in you. That's why a few weeks ago we talked about meditating on the Word. And we covered Joshua 1:1-9, I believe it was, or 10, real carefully there. Because it's so important what we meditate on. That's what our mind is becoming. That's why it's important to spend time in the Word and meditate on that, because that can put weed killer on that other stuff. But see, that's your job. It's not God's job. We'll pray, God, please help me with this. And all the time you're doing that, and he can't help you much there. because you can, all he can say is, don't do that, come over here. And he'll send laborers to you and try to get you in the Word, but you'll go right back where you were because you're carnally minded. And you're following death, and it will lead to that. I have to make a stop. I have to make a quality decision. I'm going with the Word. I don't care if it,
but
whatever.
That's something also that has to come by revelation.
It has to come. But it can only come if you make a decision to start working with it. If you never make the decision, the revelation will never come. If you don't put yourself in, nothing's going to come out. It's just the way it is. Sometimes we need people to help us. We need to say, brother, can you spend some time with me here? I've got some issues here, and frankly, I need a faith charge. And I just need to do some study here, and I just need to not meditate on the problem. I need to meditate on the answer. And I need to find out what the answer is and think about that, not the problem. If we don't watch ourselves, the enemy will deceive us into concentrating on the problem. This depression is my problem. No, it's not. It's what you're focused on that's the problem. And if he can keep you focused on the depression, even though you're trying to fix it, you won't fix it. Because you're not going to go to the Word. There's only one way to do that. You've got to be in the Word, and it's got to be the Holy Spirit making those changes. And he cannot make those changes without you. He will not force you to do anything. He will reveal it to you, but the problem is, the more we spend time with that, the harder hearted we become. We become hard of hearing him. Because we're not doing anything, you see. We're fighting it. We're pulling every handle and moving every lever, but not the right one. We remain focused on the problem, not the answer.
The problem is the people who are suffering in those places, first thing you're going to get is an argument.
You'll get it every time.
They're not going to agree that the Word is their answer.
Yeah, they're not going to. And that's the ones you got to pray for. You got to pray and mean business with your prayer. And call forth the Word of God in their life and be there for them when the problem comes. Because they're going to recognize you're not walking in this. You're walking in peace in your life. Why are you walking in peace in your life? What are you doing different than I am? I know where you used to be. I know what you used to struggle with. Why aren't you struggling now? See, they need a life reference.
Experience.
Something that's they can see somebody. They can see something and it become real to them. If they spend time in the Word, they will see it. But you got to get them started somewhere. And that's our jobs as brothers and sisters, especially if they're Christian. They may get mad at you like an old wet hen. Mm-hmm. But stay there. Pray. And be ready, and then ask God to send laborers. They may never listen to you, but they'll listen to somebody else. And God knows just exactly who that is. It may take 10 years, but it's worth it.
Amen.
It's worth it. When they finally find out, hey, I don't have to go through this anymore. Do the medicine as long as you can, but do it with the Word. Don't do one and not the other. So remember, the Word cannot abide without faith, and faith comes by hearing. Romans 10:17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Faith cannot work without love. Without love, our faith will not work. And if you're having a faith issue, check there first. You're out of order somewhere. Because God's not keeping love back. If you're walking in love, it charges our faith. Faith works by love. Without love, our faith will not work. Without faith and love, the Word cannot abide. No matter how much Word I put in my thinking, if I'm not walking in love, if I'm not applying faith to that Word, the Word cannot abide. It takes all three. Now, thank God for His grace.
Amen.
A lot of us are not going to know that, but there's something called a grace period, like when you start learning, God will do things for you that while you're little and you're just starting out, that He won't do for an adult. And the reason He won't do it for the adult, because you're mature now. You're not supposed to be sucking your thumb in a pacifier the rest of your life. You're supposed to grow.
You can't claim ignorance.
What?
You can't claim ignorance.
You can't claim ignorance.
No, you can't claim ignorance. You can't. You know, God gave us His Word. And He expects us to get in it and to grow. And to become, now we're not the child anymore. Now we're the adult that can help the child, help the new child. And that child may be in the Bible, may be in the church for 20 years or 40 years and still be a baby because they never got in the Word for numerous reasons. They didn't want to. They didn't know. Nobody told them.
The church we were in,
they didn't teach
for many years, they just didn't teach this.
They didn't teach it. Yep. And that, it is
we
that.
We didn't know. We didn't know there was anything else.
So they're babies. So I know God sovereignly leads people to those kind of people. If those people are going to those churches that don't teach anything, and they really love the Lord, they want to know, God will see to it that they know.
Amen.
He will bring someone. It may be somebody that goes sideways at their doctrine, but God can put the anointing on that person to where they start hearing beyond the doctrine and hearing the Bible, hearing the Word, hearing the compassion, hearing, and it can be quickening them and draw them up. That's what happened to us. God had a sovereign path that we took, and it was God's path. I don't say we jumped on it right away because we didn't know.
We had the choice all along.
The choice has always been there. But one day, we made the choice. And I'm so glad we did. I'm so glad. It took a long time and we're not there yet. But God's so gracious and merciful and kind. If I've got a heart towards Him, He's gonna meet that need. I still got to make the decision. That's always my choice. I'll never get to the place where I don't have to make the decision. So, faith works by love. Without love, our faith will not work. Period. Case closed. Without faith and love, the Word cannot abide, and the Word will not work. So it's the abiding Word that sets us free. What do I have to concentrate on then in order to get the Word will abide? I've got to be very aware of my love walk. I've got to work on that. That's 24/7, 365 and a quarter. There's never a time in your life where you can afford to not love. You have to know what love is. You have to know what it is not. And the Bible tells us. And if you're walking in love, you're walking in God's ways. Your ways are His ways. And if His ways are your ways, He's going to lead and guide you. You'll hear His voice. You'll know in your now moment whether it's right or wrong. You may even not be able to decide to step out there on it, something you shouldn't. The Holy Spirit will quicken you. Don't go that way. Mm-hmm. Don't do that. Well, it looks right. It's not right. Don't go that way. Mm-hmm. Well, that don't look right. It is right. You know, but you'll start to get into where you can hear and be guided by that. But the three always works together. There's never a time ever that you'll not find love, the Word, and faith working together. They work together always. There's never a point where those three are not there. You may not be able to physically see them or identify them, but they're there. They're always there. The other two will not work without the one. If you remove one, the other two won't work. It's just that way. So check up on your love walk first. Check up on the Word next. Are you accurate with what the Word says? Then look at your faith. Have I applied my faith to the problem? It won't work there. Or have I applied my faith to the Word? If I apply my faith to the Word, I'm walking in love, I'm walking in the Word, and I applied my faith to the Word, now you've got the three working. They'll work. And until you get those three working, hope can't work. And hope is absolute earnest expectation. It's not maybe it will, maybe it won't. Bible hope is absolute earnest expectation. I know this is going to happen. That's hope's job. And all the way through that path, from that point forward, you got patience working. They're working with both of them. You're abiding in the Word. Every time doubt comes up, you cast it down with the Word. The Word's your anchor. See, that's how that works. Galatians 5:6. For if we are in Christ, and if you're born again, you are in Christ. Neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything. What's he talking about? He's talking about the law. In order to be a Jew, you had in covenant, you had to be circumcised. If you were not uncircumcised, you were an uncircumcised Gentile. You're without God. But it don't mean anything after the cross, because now we're circumcised apart. Okay. So it says, or if we are in Christ, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything. That no longer applies. I'm in Christ. I have a circumcised heart. But only faith, activated, energized, expressed, and working through love. The King James says, faith worketh by love, or faith works by love. The New King James says, faith working through love. The Amplified says, only faith activated, energized, expressed, and working through love.
The NIV says, the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love.
There he goes again. So that's what it's actually saying there. It's actually saying that faith is activated. Love activates faith. That's why it will not work without love. It's energized by love. That's where its power comes from. My faith received its power through love. It's expressed. My faith will express love. My life will express the love I'm walking in. It'll be obvious. And working through love. So the actual work that is done by my faith is powered, activated, energized, and expressed, and works through my love. That's why if you don't walk the love walk, your faith won't work. And if your faith won't work, the Word won't work. And it's not God's fault. And the enemy will try to keep you out of love. That's why he works so hard at that. Because he knows if he can keep you in bickering matches and issues with mates and problems with people, if you can get mad at the president and all that other stuff and you're voicing all of that, he knows you can't walk in love because love don't do that. You get mad at the pastor and wonder why nothing's happening in the church.
Anywhere there's strife, love doesn't function.
That's exactly right, Nate. Where there's strife, there's confusion and every evil work, the book of James says. That's why he keeps that up. That's why Satan works on it. If he can't get you in your now to get mad at something, he'll bring up somebody done something to you in the past. To keep you in that carnal-minded state, because he knows if you once walk in love and overcome that, whatever you ask will happen. Because you're one with God. You're one with Him. Your thoughts are His thoughts. There's nothing, Satan can't block it if you're walking in love. He can't stop it. He's got to deceive you into getting out of love in some way. Think the best of every person. Take no account of a supper wrong. That's part of the love walk. That's why he focuses there. If you're keeping account of wrongs done to you, past, present, or future, you're out of love. Your love's not working. It disconnects you. Well, what do? You confess it. It's a sin. Because God is love. As He is, so are we in this world. To not walk in love is a sin. And actually, I put it this way years ago, and you probably, I think you were there, Jean. I said this, and I think, what's that other lady's name?
Christy?
Pam was there too, because I remember her. I said, if you're not walking in love, you're abnormal. And she went, oh!
Yes.
But as a Christian, if you're not walking the love walk, you are abnormal.
But it's hard to walk the love walk all the time.
Really, it's not if you stay in your now. It's hard, Georgie, if you are living in your future or your past. But if you stay in your now and you're staying word-minded, you'll correct yourself in your now. You're going to make mistakes. And you're going to get irritated from time to time. Everybody does. And you're going to even say the wrong thing. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But if you're practicing the love walk, you'll catch yourself. Mm-hmm. Well, you'll get to the place where you'll correct yourself. You'll recognize when you're not walking in love. And when you start justifying what you did, you'll know you're not right. Because the Holy Spirit will be so alive in you that you'll hear yourself saying that. Well, look what he did. No, you take no account of a suffered wrong. You think the best of every person. Those are quality decisions. And you can make them in your now moment. You can change it in your now. But if you let it go in your now, then it's going to be waiting on you in your next now. And I don't want it in my next now. Do you? No. And you just sow the seed. So these are important. Galatians 5:6. For if we are in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith, activated, energized, and expressed, and working through love. That is the number one priority in our life, is our love walk.
Thank you.
There's nothing more important. There's nothing more important than that. And we all have to work with that. Our minds are renewed by the living Word of God. Our spirit man does not have to be renewed. It's born again. There's none of my past in my spirit man anymore. I got born again. The old man died. I got reconnected with God's Spirit. But my mind did not. My mind has to be renewed. It's part of this natural life. In this life, it will never be born again.
Physical organ.
What's that? Well, we're spirit, soul, and body. The spirits get born again. Our souls will get born again when?
In the
day we die and go to heaven, because right. Then we will be free of our carnal nature.
Right, exactly.
Okay. Our bodies will be born again.
They'll be glorified.
At the resurrection.
Yeah, so God's putting it all back together. I can be cremated and He's still put it back together.
Yeah.
That's not a problem. That's not a problem. But our minds must be renewed. They have to be. If I get born again and I don't do anything with my mind, I'm going to go right back where I was exactly, and probably worse, because now I've got a target painted on me that says Jesus Christ, and the devil is aiming at it. And I don't have no armor on. Because my mind is being functioned and driven by my emotions. And that's not what they're for. Emotions are not supposed to ever tell me what to do. They're only communicating to my mind so my mind can communicate to my spirit and my spirit determine what to do. Guided by the Holy Spirit. That's the way it's supposed to function. But if I don't renew my mind, even though I'm born again, literally, I receive Jesus. I made a quality decision. He's my Lord. I just didn't say a formula. I wanted Him in that moment. Mm-hmm. I'm born again. I'm going to heaven, but I'm living a miserable life here. Satan's running roughshod over me because I don't. My mind's not renewed. I never changed anything. So our minds are renewed in only one way, by the living word. If we are to live a consistent Christian life, we must renew our minds. And that means I've got to be in the Word. And I have to be love-minded. I'll probably go over this to connect it next week. Ephesians 4:23, and be constantly renewed. Why does he say constantly renewed? Because it has to be an ongoing process. I can never stop. Okay. And be constantly renewed in the spirit of your mind, having a fresh mental and spiritual attitude. Then Romans 12:2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Without a renewed mind, you're not going to know that.
That's right.
So, we'll I got other things here to add to that, but we won't tonight. I just wanted to connect the two for next week. So, well, Father, we thank you for this word tonight. Lord, I just am so appreciative that you teach your people.
Thank you.
I'm so appreciative, Father, that if we just position ourselves, you'll bring revelation. You'll show us the truth. That's what that cross is all about. You want to reveal yourself to us. You want us back in relationship with you. You don't want anyone lost. And Father, we thank you that you made provision so that none should be lost, but they have a way. And Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life.
Amen.
Thank you, Father, that you looked down at Adam's fall and you saw us sitting here tonight.
Thank you.
And your love and grace and mercy was extended to us right at the fall. And we thank you, Father, that the price was paid, that we can come back. We can abide with you for all of eternity. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 Amen.